You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 24th of November 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I've got a bit of good news to start the week off with. It's always nice to start with a bit of good news. It's not good news that these problems are happening to us, but what is good news is the attention that's being drawn to it and the US State Department talking about this. And the article I'm going to use comes from Breitbart. The headline says, US State Department warns mass migration an existential threat to Western civilization. US embassies to monitor two-tiered justice in Europe. And a few years back, I never thought I would ever see the American State Department saying anything like that. I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about as nationalists for years now, that mass migration is an existential threat to our civilization and that we have a two-tier justice system in Europe now, particularly in Britain, where if you're right-wing and you go out and protest and trouble happens, you're going to get jail sentences. Whereas if you're an ethnic minority and you're going out to protest Black Lives Matter, there won't be any jail sentences whatsoever. Well, getting back to this article here, the United States government has warned that mass migration represents an existential threat to Western civilization and has warned Europe against the continuing open borders policies and the creation of two-tier justice systems that favour foreigners over native populations. And people might say, well, if we have a two-tier justice system, where is this law that says that we don't have to treat foreigners as harshly as we treat the native populations? But it's not as simple as that. There are directives that are now given to judges in order to bring down the number of black people in particular that are in the justice system, because the percentage of them in the justice system is a higher percentage than their percentage of the population, as shown in the David Lammy report. And of course, as nationalists, we would say, well, this is because they're more likely to commit crime, in the same way that a man is more likely to commit crime than a woman. Doesn't mean that all men are criminals, just means that they're more likely to commit crime than women. And black people, according to statistics, are more likely to commit violent crimes than Europeans. And Europeans are more likely to commit violent crimes than Japanese. It's just statistics. And because of this, the judges have been told, they've been given directives that they need to stop jailing so many black people. And when it comes down to sentencing, they should bear in mind that the person they are sentencing may have been the victim of racism in the past. And it is because of this racism against him that he may have taken this path of becoming a criminal. So they're invited to go lenient, if possible, on blacks, particularly black teenagers. I can recall talking about this years ago, that there was this directive. And now there's another directive that says that if they're an ethnic minority, a pre-sentence report should be carried out to see how, again, to see if they've been the victims of racism in the past. And if there's any possible way that the judge can be a little bit more lenient, they should be. So that's just one example of a two-tier justice system. That's before we get into the bias that there is against nationalists and the bias that there is against anybody who has been tiered as far right. Of course, the biggest example of that was in the Southport protests last year, some of which turned into riots, with Keir Starmer ordering the judiciary to go extremely harshly on these people and to make sure that they were all arrested, make sure that they were all jailed. He's on record as expecting the judiciary to go harshly on these people. So again, you've got political interference there. And this is what the American State Department is trying to draw attention to. In a shot across the bow against the open borders ideology that has taken hold in the halls of power in many Western European capitals, the US State Department urged its allies to take bold action and defend citizens against the threats posed by mass migration. And that's an amazing sentence there, saying that citizens are at threat by mass migration. And again, a lot of this is down to the disproportionate crime statistics. I think Afghans are something like 20 times more likely to carry out sexually related crimes than white people. And of course, people on the left will say, oh, that can't possibly be true because there are only a few Afghans in the country. It's white people that carry out the majority of these crimes. We're going by their percentage of the population. If Afghans make up 0.5% of the population, they should only make up 0.5% of the crime, shouldn't they? Not a much higher number. So you actually go by the percentage of the population is how we get these figures. Particularly with things like black crime, violent crime, they're something like five times more likely to be charged with a violent crime or actually jailed for violent crime than white people. And you get that by saying, well, they make up 5% of the population, yet they make up 25% or something like that of the number of people that have been arrested for violent crime. Yes, white people make up 75%, but white people only make up 80% or so of the population. So it's roughly the same as their percentage of the population. The diplomatic arm of the Trump administration also warned that its embassies will be actively monitoring policies that punish citizens who object to continued mass migration. And the crimes and other human rights abuses committed in Europe by people with a migration background, a phrase suggesting the inclusion of second-generation migrant criminals in such reports. And that's amazing. I mean, this is the problem that we have. If you complain about grooming gangs, they're likely to put you in prison under the guise of preventing hate speech, preventing inciting hate against minorities. But what that law actually does is it puts people in prison that complain about the horrific things that are the result of this mass migration policy that the European governments have. So for America to draw attention to this, it's amazing. As I say, I really never thought that I would see the day when the American administration would be pointing these things out. And it's not just one Republican or one politician that's saying this. It's the actual State Department. And they're highlighting there the fact that people with a migration background carrying out crimes against people in Europe, those crimes would never have happened if those people weren't in Europe in the first place. If the government hadn't imported Muslims into the country, for example, then there couldn't be any Muslim grooming gangs, could there? And all those young white children that were abused by the grooming gangs, that would never have happened. So the people that are to blame for this is the government. That's at the root of this. Not the Muslims themselves, but the government for importing these people into our country that come from a completely different culture. They come from a culture where if they're caught doing something like that, they will be hanged. They'll be executed. Whereas if they're caught doing something like that in Britain, then the people that complain about it, the nationalists, they are the ones that will be locked up for complaining about the fact that the British girls were being raped by them. So it's just obvious that you're going to get that problem over here because we haven't got the harsh punishment that there is for it that they have in the Muslim countries. The US State Department continued, mass migration is a human rights concern. Western nations have endured crime waves, terror attacks, sexual assaults, and the displacement of communities, the State Department wrote in a statement on X. And that could have come straight out of a nationalist podcast, talking about the problems that there are involved with migration, mass migration. They're literally saying here, crime waves, which means a huge increase in crime. The only way they would know this is by looking at statistics. And of course, our governments try to hide these statistics by not reporting on the ethnicity of the offenders. And of course, in some countries which do that, people have had to manually go through all the court reports looking for foreign sounding names like Mohammed so that they can then see what the statistics are for instance, for crimes such as rape, so they can see that there's a higher proportion of Muslims in particular that are involved with this grooming gang phenomenon. So instead of trying to cover this up, the State Department in America is actually drawing attention to this. US officials will urge governments to take bold action and defend citizens against the threats posed by mass migration. And this is really sort of turning around the whole idea of hate speech the other way around, isn't it, really? It's saying that actually it's the native Europeans that are threatened by mass migration rather than the migrants who are threatened by the citizens of the European countries protesting against this mass migration. Of course, that's what they'll say. They'll say, oh, you're threatening the migrants by protesting against the government immigration policy. Of course, it's not the migrants that are being protested against. It's the immigration policy. It's the government that put that policy in place. You can't blame people from Africa for wanting to come to Europe. The people you can blame are the politicians in Europe for facilitating that and encouraging it. Mass migration, the Executive Department continued, has plagued citizens of Western nations for years, citing examples of heinous crimes committed by migrants against natives and the two-tiered response by many liberal governments. I mean, in some instances, if you're a nationalist and you're actually drawing attention to the number of white people that are attacked by, say, for instance, black people, then you'll be accused of inciting hate against black people by drawing attention to it. So to actually have the United States government drawing attention to this and saying that there are heinous crimes being committed by migrants against natives, it's just amazing. I mean, it literally could be somebody from Radio Albion making a podcast. That's the sort of thing that we talk about, that we're trying to draw attention to. And we just have like a small reach. We don't reach that many people. We probably reach more now after the promotion of Radio Albion through arresting me and charging me. But we've got nowhere like the reach of the American government. The State Department highlighted the predominantly Pakistani Muslim child rape gangs, which often targeted young working class white girls for rape and sexual exploitation. Many girls were left to suffer unspeakable abuse for years before authorities stepped in, the statement said. Indeed, local government officials and police in English cities have frequently faced accusations of having turned a blind eye to Muslim grooming gangs for fear of appearing racist. At the same time, child victims were often labelled by authorities as prostitutes. Now, over the weekend, somebody on Twitter, or X, linked to a newspaper article talking about some of the horrific things that these child victims suffered under these grooming gangs. And I'm not going to mention the exact one, but there was one on there, absolutely horrific, that was done to a child by one of these grooming gangs, or by the leaders of a grooming gang. And when I was in court, the prosecutor brought this up in particular and said that I had just made this up in order to incite hate against Muslims, and that I had made up this horrific act that was done against a child, and it couldn't possibly have taken place. Now, I had difficulty in actually finding the article so that I couldn't say, look, I got this from a mainstream article. I said in court, look, I got that from a mainstream article. But I was unable to actually find the mainstream article that actually mentioned this, which is why it's important that if you are making podcasts and you are talking about these sorts of subjects, you really should put a link to all the articles that you use in the podcast notes, just for your own protection, because if you ever get prosecuted with something that you said, you can then, you know, you can go back there and find the article that you were quoting from. So that's an example of exactly what they're saying here. The authorities turned a blind eye to this. They didn't just turn a blind eye to it. They locked people up that were drawing attention to it. And as in my case, they pretended that these things didn't actually happen and that the person talking about it was just motivated by hate. Despite previously branding such claims as conspiracy theories and a fixation of the so-called far right, the left-wing Labour government was forced earlier this year to concede that race and religion played a major role in the grooming gang scandal and were similarly forced to launch a national inquiry into the failures to protect young girls from migrants and men of migrant background. And every time I see Keir Starmer talking about this, he talks about how it's absolutely terrible that this happened and this should never have happened and we need to make sure it never happens again. And then the next minute, he'll be calling people that are protesting against the illegal immigrants being housed in hotels. The next minute, he'll be calling them far right. Now, these are people that are protesting because they are concerned that the young girls of the community might be sexually abused by these illegal immigrants, which has happened countless times. And it's all been in the newspapers. So they are literally protesting about the same issue, the grooming gang issue, and Keir Starmer is still calling these people far right. This is still going on. This is why it's so good that the United States are drawing attention to it, because this hasn't all been finished with. It's still going on. People that go and protest when a young girl in the community is sexually assaulted by an illegal immigrant. They're then faced with stand up to racism. They're faced with counter protesters at their protests, attacking them, looking for ways when they can physically attack these people. When we held a protest at Lantwit Major, stand up to racism were all bust in. And we were protesting against housing being put there, temporary housing for asylum seekers. And the reason why we were protesting is because there was weasel wording in the literature. The literature said asylum seekers such as Ukrainian refugees. And of course, that doesn't mean it will only be Ukrainian refugees. It means it would be any asylum seeker. So this is what we were protesting about. Stand up to racism turned up there. And I think one of them was caught with a knife. One of them gave a police officer a broken nose. It's quite clear that they were trying to violently intimidate us for protesting against it. And this is what happens. You try to draw attention to these horrific things. You try to prevent them from happening and you end up with the people on the left attacking you and you end up with Keir Starmer calling you far right. And then when it finally all comes to the surface, then they're saying, oh, I don't know how this could have happened. We need to have an inquiry. Nobody should be too frightened to talk about sexually abused children. Well, unfortunately, people are, because this is the sort of thing that happens. The Trump administration further highlighted a case in Germany in which a group of mostly migrant men received lesser sentences for gang raping a 15-year-old girl in a park in Hamburg. When a woman who called one of the attackers a disgraceful rapist pig was actually then sent to jail for it. While most of the offenders were given probation after being tried as juveniles, despite some being of age, the woman was sentenced to jail time and a fine. So the woman that complained about being raped by the men of migrant background, she was sent to jail. The men of migrant background that carried out the gang rape of a 15-year-old child, they didn't even get a prison sentence. And this happened in Germany. Of course, Germany and Sweden, it's worse than in Britain. Thankfully, we don't have instances of something like that happening in Britain. But we do have people like myself being sent to jail for generally drawing attention to the crimes that are a result of the government's mass migration policy. Finally, the State Department pointed to a recent case in Sweden in which a migrant from the African nation of Eritrea, Yazid Mohammed, was convicted of raping a 16-year-old girl. Despite the conviction, judges ruled that he should not be deported because of his special migrant status over entering the country as a refugee minor and that the offence did not constitute such a particularly serious crime as to be deported. That's incredible. Rape is not considered to be a particularly serious crime in Sweden. Yet if you're Julian Assange and you're sleeping next to a woman and you get an erection in your sleep, then you will be prosecuted for rape and they will hound you around the world and you'll have to claim asylum in countries so that you can't be arrested for it. But if you're from Eritrea, it's not considered such a particularly serious crime to actually force yourself upon a woman and rape them, a 16-year-old in that case. US officials will now scrutinise policies in Western nations that give leniency to migrant crime and human rights abuses, or that create two-tiered systems that prioritise migrants at the expense of their own citizens, the State Department said. And these two-tier systems, they don't just exist in the justice system. It's everywhere, isn't it? You see these adverts particularly asking for ethnic minorities to join the police force, and they'll be given extra training. White people can apply, but it's made quite clear that they won't actually get the job because they want to increase the number of ethnic minorities in the police force. And that's just an example. It's the same with the fire service. It's the same with lots of different positions in the army. Remember in the RAF, I can recall doing a podcast a couple of years back about in the RAF, how the white men just need not apply because they don't want white men. They want to get more ethnic minorities in there. So there is a two-tiered system there. There's a two-tiered system in the universities where if you're an ethnic minority, you will get extra help. You won't have to get such high marks to actually get into the university. There are grants there that are open to you. There is extra tuition that is open to you. And these are all examples of a two-tiered system. Now, the origin of this is probably not so bad because there is a desire to help people that are not as well off as ourselves. It's a desire to help people that actually gives rise to these abuses because you cannot raise somebody else up without squashing somebody else down. It's just a fact of life. So there are ways to try and improve the number of ethnic minorities at university. Their way to do that is to penalise white people. And we should have a meritocratic system. At the root of this is a huge error. And that error is to think that all races are exactly the same. Think that everybody is exactly the same. And they all start out with a blank slate. And it's just the environment that they're in that leads to them succeeding in life. And that's just not true. We don't start out as a blank slate. All the different ethnicities are as different as individuals are different. There are different average IQs, for instance. And the IQ is the most accurate predictor of life outcomes. Like a high IQ will lead to the sort of outcomes that the government would like to see people get. Whereas if you have a low IQ, then that predicts things such as crime, unemployment, all sorts of negative things. And if you have these different people groups and they have different average IQs, then it means they're starting out. They're not going to actually be able to reach the same sort of potential as somebody with a higher IQ. And these IQs in particular, they're lower in Africa. So this is at the root of the problem, I think. It's a failure to actually identify what the issue is that causes these discrepancies between life outcomes. It's not that white people are putting black people down, because white people are now putting white people down in an effort to put black people into these higher positions. You know, this is what the diversity, equity and inclusion is all about. It's about improving the outcomes for blacks, but it's at the expense of white people. And the reason why they try to do this is because there is this difference, and we can't stop that difference. And that's what we say as nationalists, is that this difference is inherent between us. We don't just look different to one another. We are actually different to one another. And it doesn't matter how much resources we put into trying to equalize everything. We'll never actually be able to equalize everyone because we're not equal. We're different. Diversity isn't a strength. Diversity is a weakness. A kingdom that is divided against itself will never stand. That's a quote from the Bible. The United States supports the sovereignty of our allies and calls on governments to constructively engage with the growing numbers of citizens concerned about mass migration. And this is what the government refuses to do. It just calls anybody that is concerned about mass migration, just calls them far right. There's no constructive engagement whatsoever. We just get called Nazis and racists, and they try to lock us up or ban us rather than actually engage in a dialogue. The United States stands ready to assist our allies in solving the global crisis of mass migration. the statement concluded. So America is quite happy to assist in this. Earlier this month, US President Donald Trump urged the British government of Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer to do something about immigration, warning that if the United Kingdom fails to do so, you are not going to have a country left. And it was good that Trump pointed that out, but I doubt very much whether Keir Starmer is going to pay very much attention to it. But I think the general public will have to pay attention to this because it will get attention. It will be in the newspapers. And just to finish up with here, I was talking about the increase in sexually related crimes that go on in areas that have migrant hotels. This is another instance of this that's just been reported this week. An Afghan migrant male has pleaded guilty to one count of rape of a child under 13, ahead of the trial of a case whose allegations triggered local protests. Two Afghan males appeared before Warwick Crown Court on Friday, facing 10 charges relating to the abduction and rape of a 12-year-old girl in the Midlands town of Nuneaton. Ahmad Mullakil, 23, and Mohammed Kabir, 23, were arrested on July 26th after alleged events on July 22nd. Mullakil changed a previous plea of innocence to guilty of one count of rape of a child under 13. He faces several other charges, which are to be tried at a court date on January 26th. Two further counts of rape of a child under 13, attempting to take a child, abduction of a child, and two counts of sexual assault of a child under 30. So they're all different victims here. So there's about three or four children that we know about that he's raped or tried to abduct or sexually abused. Kabir is facing charges of attempting to take a child, aiding and abetting the rape of a child under 13, and intentional strangulation. So he strangled them for good measure. He denied the charges at Friday's hearing. As previously reported, and I'm getting this from Breitbart, news of the allegations against the men and their arrests triggered protests in Nuneaton that saw placards displaying messages including "Protect our children" and "Stop the boats." And what happened at these protests? Stand up to racism were there. This is an article from one of these protests. The protest was the latest in a now months-long series of demonstrations expressing concern about imported migrant crime being imported into communities through the government, block booking hotels for migrant accommodation, or through buying up leases of large numbers of private rented houses. In common with those other protests, the Nuneaton anti-mass migration demonstration also attracted a counter-protest organised by Stand Up to Racism. And this is what they'll do. The indigenous protesters will be there protesting against children getting raped. And then you've got the left wing, who are also indigenous. You'll get them there shouting and calling them names and calling them far right and saying that they need to be smashed. I mean, that's one of their favourite signs, isn't it? Smash the far right. What they mean is smash the people that are complaining about being raped. The leftist counter-protest opposing the anti-child rape narrative was unusually subdued, with this journalist witnessing downcast expressions and only very limited attempts to get chants going. The counter-demonstration was also short-lived, being escorted away from the area by police to a chorus of jeers by locals. That's interesting, they were escorted away from the area by police. There was another of these protests that took place at the same time, and they were actually escorted there by police. They were bussed in a police van so that they could attack the protesters. Demonstrators accused the Stand Up to Racism activists in a series of chants of being apologists for child rapists or even being sex abusers themselves. Police kept the Stand Up to Racism group surrounded until they had left the town centre area, while they were followed by pedos out chanting from locals. So what they're saying is, if you complain about young girls being raped by men of migrant background, then you're a racist. And that's what they're effectively saying. And this is what we've been saying for a long time, is that it's just normal people complaining about things that we have just a completely moral right to complain about. And when we do so, we get accused of being racist because we're just supposed to be silent and put up with this. We're just supposed to think that this is just the way that things are. Well, it's not just the way that things are. It's only the way that things are because of the government's migration policy in the post-war years. That's what has caused this, and that's what's so wonderful, that America is speaking out about this and drawing attention to it. And I'm really pleased that they are, and extremely grateful to President Trump and his State Department, regardless of what Americans may think of Trump with his pro-Israel policies. The fact that he also does things like this makes me extremely grateful. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.